Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
Good evening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. And the gospel story tonight, it follows upon the heels of one of my favorite gospels, which is the John chapter 4, the woman at the well, where Jesus probes the heart of this woman who needs to find the fullness that doesn't lie in this world. This is like the next miracle story that kind of usually gets overlooked and skipped, but it's a really interesting little piece of the gospel. There's many questions you could ask as you listen to the story, so pay attention as we go tonight. For the times where we have failed to live in God's love, where we have failed to honor our Lenten promises, where we have failed to follow our vocations and to live them fully, let us call to mind our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. While the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him, "The fever left him yesterday, about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time, Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The Gospel of the Lord. As I sat with this gospel reading this afternoon in the chapel, I was actually kind of hoping to be reading a book during my holy hour, a book about St. John Paul II that the house guys and I are reading for Lent together. We're going to have a book discussion on Wednesday, and I'm not caught up yet on the book. So I was hoping that during my holy hour, I could get some of the spiritual reading done and kill both two birds with one stone. So I thought I'll look at the reading for tonight so I can get a quick homily in my head, and then I'll read the book the rest of the time. Well, God did not want that to happen. So I sat for 40 minutes of my holy hour trying to figure out what this gospel means. And as I sat in my holy hour, I thought, I don't even know that I've read this very closely before. I mean, we've all heard this story, right? But it follows upon a much more interesting gospel story with the woman at the well. And because of that, I think we overlook it. I think we overlook the story. But I don't think we just overlook the story as it is in the Gospels. I think we overlook the fruit of it too. And that fruit is at least twofold. In the Gospel reading tonight, Jesus goes to Cana, where he once turned the water into wine. He would have been probably pretty famous there as he came back into town, as the guy who saved the big party. Imagine a wedding reception over here, running out of fried chicken or beer. And then somebody coming in and just making it happen, right? Out of like tofu and water, right? You know, to be a celebrity, you know? So he comes in and saves the day. And so as he comes back into the same town, people are already waiting for him as he gets there. And you can imagine there's a crowd because there would be everywhere he went. And so he comes into town and there's a crowd, and this man from out of town, a nobleman, a member of the royal court, he hears that Jesus is coming, and even though it's miles away from his house, he decides not to just send a messenger or text somebody or send an email and say, come visit me on your way back. He leaves, this important guy, this senator or congressman, he leaves to go see a carpenter, and he walks there. And when he gets there, he walks up to Jesus to tell him that his son is ill, and Jesus replies to him in the plural, you people, right? Looks at the man, but says, you people will not believe unless you see a sign. And this guy, he doesn't care about public opinion, surprisingly. A member who's made it up the ladder to be part of the royal court, he doesn't care that he's in front of everybody and that Jesus just called him and everyone else out. And he says, please, my son is about to die. How often do we care more about public opinion than about crying out to God, the Father, in truth? It happens too often. And I wonder how many miracles we miss because we care more about what other people think of us crossing ourselves at Subway for lunch, or talking about our faith in the workplace, or telling our buddies in the locker room not to make those kinds of jokes. I wonder what miracles we miss out on because of our lack of belief, true belief, unlike this man who believed fully. So then he goes, after he says these words, Jesus says, because you believe, your son is healed, and go. And now again, this is a guy who's walked from Capernaum, which is several miles away. And in fact, we know it takes probably a day between these two places, or at least back then it did, because he doesn't find out about the healing until the next day when his servants say it happened yesterday that he was healed. So at least, you know, at least it was an overnight that took him to get there between the two places. So he sets back off with no assurance. He walks back home. He walked all the way there, canceled his schedule, cleared it for 2 days at least to see Jesus. And then Jesus says, it's been done. Believes and goes. And whenever everyone else in the house sees this young man, this son, healed, all of them convert. All of them. The next question I have then is, what happens to them a year later? Many of us have experienced, God. We've encountered Jesus on a retreat or in a holy hour. Maybe we made a Curcio or gone to Source and Summit. Both of those things, Curcio last weekend, Source and Summit this week. Maybe you've experienced God on a tech, actually just last month. And here you are a month later or years later after your retreat. And has it changed you? The whole house converts. All of the people there saw God work a miracle because this king lowered himself to believe in the Lord and came back. And now, I wonder how many of those people in that house are currently in heaven. How many of them are here in this church with us as saints? I don't think we pay enough attention to conversion after the fact. I wonder if, just like this gospel story gets overlooked, if we overlook the power of the moment where Christ comes to us, where God answers our prayer, where our belief is actually manifest and takes root, and instead we leave the soaked sponge behind. We go to the desert, and we forget to come back and wring it out once more, that grace upon our dry hearts and our dry minds. I think we overlook this gospel too often, and I think we overlook its fruit. The first fruit being, if we only had faith in public, what could really happen to us inside? And when the moments we do experience God, if we stop leaving those behind, what could happen next for us and for our whole households too?